and you don't have any understanding about God's will for your life, you are as lost as anybody. You are a ball in high weeds. You don't know where to go, what direction to take, because you don't have any understanding. See, it is important to understand what God's purpose is for your very lives, or you'll just be taking a broad way. Remember, the scriptures say, straight is the way and narrow is the gate that leads to eternal life. But the broad way, that easy way, that way when we don't have any understanding or any direction, leads us to damnation. Stop following the broad way. Find out what God wants you to understand about his word. If there is no understanding, then we are lost. We are lost. Watch what he says. As Jesus says, verse 16, are you also yet without understanding? You know, here are men that have been walking around with Jesus for a period of time. He's been teaching them and instructing them, but yet still they miss the message. You know, it's folks in the church. I'm just going to be truthful and tell you like it is. It's folks in the church still missing the message. Still don't have a real purpose. Still just sitting on the pew waiting for somebody to tell them what to do when they should know for themselves what God has instructed them to do. God is about us doing good works. God is about us carrying out his business here in the Lord's body. So if you are not about that, then you can disqualify yourself from the Lord's body. Did you hear me? You can disqualify self. Because if you don't know what God wants you to do, then you better get about his business and find out what he wants you to do. Better get about his business. Now watch what he says as Jesus continues. He says, verse 17, do you not yet understand that whatsoever enters in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the draw? But those things which proceed out of the mouth comes from the heart. The heart. You know, we need to get some clarity here, because a lot of people think this heart is the heart. No, that's not the heart he is talking about. The only heart, only function this heart at is to pump blood through it. Understand, because he goes on to think, to explain this. He says, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts. Huh? That's your thinking process. That's what's dwelling in you. That those evil and wicked things, he says, out of the thoughts, out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murder, adultery, fornication, theft, false witness, blasphemy. These are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands? No. See, these are the things that sit in your seat of your life. These are the things that you are processing every day. These are the programs that run you. Do y'all hear me? They run you. And what you think and what's filled in your house or in your office, in your business, is going to determine how you conduct that business. It's going to determine that. How you conduct business in your house or office can be wonderful, great, and glorious. Wonderful, great, and glorious. But it also can be divisive, careless, and inhumane. What business do you want to conduct in your life? You know, and when I look at church folk Hypocrisy. Hypocrisy. Playing a role. Acting like they are all Christians. And that's the reason for the confusion in the church today. Many folks look like Christians, but not according to business. What business? Carrying out the will of God. Believing in what Jesus teaches us about the church that he died for and that he paid the price for. Allowing him to be the head and not some man or some organization, but Christ is the head of the body. And he's the Savior. He bought you. He paid for you with his own precious blood. Why do you want to conduct any other business but the business of Christ? Stop playing the hypocritical role. Know your purpose. He has made you the manager of your own office to sit in the seat of power. He's made you that manager. He's given you the power to do what you want to do. You can conduct business any way you want to. That's your choice. That's your choice. Now, how will you conduct your business? This is what Jesus is describing when he is talking about the scribes and Pharisees who sat in Moses' seat in Matthew chapter 23. You get that for me, Reg? Watch what he says. Then spake Jesus unto the multitude and to his disciples. I want you to understand that he was not just talking to the disciples, but he was also talking to the multitude that they can understand what he really means. Jesus doesn't want us to be blind and ignorant of his will. But it's your responsibility to find out how he wants you to live your life. He's given you a purpose and he's given you direction. The straight and narrow is a way to go, my friend. Straight and narrow. Let's get away from the broad way, believing in anything and calling everything good. No, it's not that way. It's the way God wants you to go. But the Pharisees and scribes took another way. Listen to what he says. The scribes and the Pharisees sit in Moses' seat. This was a seat of power. This was a seat of greatness. This was a seat of honor. And they love having the power and the influence over other men and women. Oh, boy. Watch what he says in verse number 3. All therefore whatsoever they bid you observe, that observe and do. But do not ye after their works, for they say and do not. Oh boy, they're willing to instruct you, but they don't want to do what they tell you to do. You know, you've heard that old adage that says, do what I say and not what I do. Oh boy, that's a blind teacher trying to teach some blind folks. Let me tell you, we better watch those kind of folks that want to throw something out like that. Do what I say and not what I do. If you're willing to tell me what to do and not live up to it yourself, I need to be denouncing you. Watch. Before we can adhere to anyone that sits in the seat of authority, we first must understand that God has established all offices and power and officers in the church as well as outside the church. If you regard the scriptures as God's holy word. Let's look at Romans chapter 13, starting at verse number 1, and begin to see just a few things here. I want you to understand what Paul is teaching when he talks about the higher power. He says, let every soul be subject unto the higher power. In the New Testament, higher power figuratively means to hold one above, superior, or better than another. Your supervisor on your job is a higher power. Your parents, children in the home is a higher power. Elders of the church is a higher power. But there is no power but who? But God. You know, that was profound to me. Because as I start looking at the president and the cabinet and the senate and all these other folks with all this power, we realize and understand that power is divided up amongst those people. But I need you to understand the word divided up. Divided up. God has all power in his hand. And he delegates power and authority to every man and woman that walks the face of this earth. You may have thought your vote put President Obama in power. No, it was God. God allowed you to vote. He gave you that power. All power, he says, is of God. Watch what he says. But there is no power. There is no power but of God. The powers that be are, that word ordained, intended, meant by God. So don't come with me talking about I got power. No, you don't. If you have anything, God gave it to you or delegated that power to you, and you need to respect what God has given you. Need to respect. Oh, yeah, he can remove you. We're going to talk about that a little bit in the lesson. We're going to get around to that point. But we need to understand that God gives the power. Let me give you an example. Reggie, we're going to come back to Romans, but go to Exodus chapter 12, Exodus chapter 9, starting at verse number 12. Watch this. This is this bad boy by the name of Pharaoh, who thought he was a god, thought he had power. Watch what the Bible says in Exodus chapter 9 and verse number 12. And the Lord did what? You mean to tell me God will harden you? Yes, he will if you don't want to obey him. He will harden your heart. The Bible says, and the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, and he hearkened not unto them, and the Lord had spoken unto Moses. And the Lord said unto Moses, rise up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh and say unto him, thus said the Lord God of the Hebrew, let my people go that they may serve me, for I will at this time send all my plagues upon thine heart and upon thine servants and upon thine people, that thou may know that there is none like me in all the earth. For now I will stretch out my hands that I may smite thee and thy people with pestilence, and thou shalt be cut off from the earth. And in very deed for this cause have I raised thee up. I raised thee up. In other words, God gave Pharaoh the seat of power and authority for a purpose. For a purpose. He raised him up. Why? To show in thee who got the power.
Is that all right? Is that all right? To show it to who has the power. I'll raise you up to prove to you who has all power in his hand. Pharaoh was used like a puppet. If you don't conduct the business of God in your office, God will use you like a puppet. You think you're doing something, but it's only God pulling your strings. It's only God pulling your strings.
He wants to declare unto all the earth who he is. God has all power in his hand. If we'll go back to the Roman letter and continue to look there in verse number 2, watch what he says. For whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance. Now go that word again, an ordinance of God, and they resist shall receive to themselves what, church? Oh boy, you got a reward. God gonna use you for his purpose. Watch this. This is what I deem as really interesting in verse number 3. For the rulers are not a terror to good works. Rules are not a terror to good works. They're not going to hinder, cripple. If you're doing what's right, it's only those who are living those treacherous, deceptive, those who are out to trick and fool and cheat folks. Those are the ones that the rulers are there for. That's the reason we have prisons and jails and law enforcement. Because a lot of folks don't want to do good work. If everybody did good work, what problems would we have?
Everybody have enough to eat. Everybody have a place to stay. If everybody was about doing what's good and right and true. But everybody's not out for that. They have their own agenda. They have their own will. And it's not according to the will of God. Therefore, those people resist authority. Young folks, you know, I ain't going to leave you out. Whenever you tell mama or daddy what you're not going to do, well, they should be in trouble with mom and daddy, but some moms and daddies just let them do what they want to do. Come on, y'all know I'm telling the truth. Yes, sir. God has given you power. We need to understand that we need to be about doing good works. We need to be about that. Watch what he says. For the Lord said, I'm sorry, but to do evil. For rulers are not a terror to good works, but to evil. Will thou then not be afraid of the power do which is good, that thou shalt have praise of the same? For he is the minister of God to thee for good.
I know. Y'all always think, Brother John is your minister.
Serve you is completely up to how they operate out of their office. It's
completely about what their agenda is. If they're certain, but hey, we're supposed to have good ministers. We're supposed to have men that are willing to go the extra mile to serve us, but you know as well as I do that that's not the case. But yet, I want you to understand here today that they're in power because of what God has said and done. They're there. You think a man like Hitler was put in power because he wanted to be there? No. God put him in power. Or any other dictator, Saddam Hussein, or Idi Amin, those people were placed in power. And we need to learn from this. And what we need to learn from this lesson, my brothers and sisters, is that that is a sign of how we need to draw closer to God. We need to depend on Him more than we depend on the government for our substance. We need to depend on Him to protect us from all wrongdoing, from all the evil that exists in our society. You're not depending on them per se. That's the government or the law enforcement. But you should be totally dependent on God to deliver you from any evil situation you run into, because you are all about doing His work. You're all about pleasing God, and you're all about submitting to the power that are in place today. We need to learn to respect the authority, those who sit in the high seats of power. But we can